Let me go ahead and introduce Lois. Lois and Andy, if you don't know, they attend Christ Pres. They're here, and Andy plays the piano for us pretty much every Sunday morning and Sunday evening when we have services. But Lois is currently on staff with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship at Ole Miss. And she's been here since 2010.
This is my third year here.
But before that, she had worked with InterVarsity up in Michigan. Has been with InterVarsity for almost 15 years now. Is that right? And one of the cool things that Lois is going to be sharing with her from her experience with InterVarsity are those things about those conversations that you would have, what it would look like, and she'll share a little bit about her work here as well, give you kind of an idea about what evangelism looks like in her context and how she works, and there are things like that we can learn from it. So I'm going to go ahead and have Lois come and share with us.
Great, thank you. Thanks. So Andy would love to be here today, but our son Ethan is sick at home, so he's got baby duty at home playing with Ethan this morning. We heard some great teaching this morning from Dr. Leonard, and so I'm just going to spend a few minutes helping us to think about some practical ways that we can grow relationships with people who might not know Jesus or might not be really following Jesus, and ways we can kind of move our conversations to talking about spiritual things. And my having maybe been working for InterVarsity for a long time might make you think that this stuff comes naturally to me, you know? Like, oh, it's easy for her to have spiritual conversations with people. But that has not always been the case. In fact, after I'd been on staff with InterVarsity for a couple years, I really did still have this sense of fear in talking to people who weren't Christians about spiritual things. And so, you know, I would be on campus, and it was challenging. And so it was something that my supervisor prayed for me about, that I prayed about. And then there was just a time of thinking, I just have to take some risks, right? And so a lot of it was praying for the courage that it would take in those few seconds it takes to start a conversation, right? Like sometimes it's that you have that opportunity, right? And you think, I could say something. And it takes some courage to do that, right? So as I did that, as people prayed for me, then I grew in feeling more comfortable, more confident. And I still do feel nervous. You know, on days when I'm going to campus, when I'm going to do mainly evangelism, mainly talking to people who may not be Christians about Jesus, I feel nervous when I'm driving to campus. I'm praying, you know, like, okay, you know, this is what we're going to do today. But I will say that God has helped me to have a lot less fear. God's helped me to be able to feel just this is a natural part of what we do. And so I share that with you to say that I think that that can be the case for all of us, right? As we pray, God can help us to feel more comfortable. He can help us to feel more confident, and that it can become more of a natural thing that we're doing. So I have some assistants who are going to help pass out. I'm going to have us do a little work during this session. So we've got some paper, if you could pass that out, and some pens if you need a pen. So I want to make sure everybody can get a paper and a pen. I've got a few questions on there. And while they're passing that out, I can tell you a little more about my context. So as Melvin said, I work with college students on campus at Ole Miss. We have maybe 60 students who are involved in our group right now, and it's a fairly diverse group, although it's maybe 70% African-American students, and then a number of white students, a few other students from different places. And so it's been interesting to work with those students on campus. And there are students who are becoming Christians, or students who are spending time looking at the Bible together and coming to know who God is. So that's been an exciting thing. And I've been learning a lot, like Melvin said, about how to talk to people about spiritual things. So I think that the first thing, I do want to encourage you to fill out this sheet along with me as we're doing it together. So we'll work on it together. And part of that is I think it's kind of helpful to have a practical, some ideas in mind. Like these are people I have in mind that I'm gonna talk to. And as a side note, I know Dr. Leonard mentioned this as well, but when we talk about Christians, especially here in the South, as he was saying, there are a lot of people who would say, I am a Christian, right? Maybe, as he was saying, many of us would say, many of the people who we talk to would say they're Christians. And I think the language that I'm going to use, and he might use something different, is I'm going to use the language of Christians and nominal Christians. So those might be people who would say they're Christians, but maybe when you look at their lives, they're not centered around Jesus, around following him and everything they do. So that's just the language that I'm going to use today. I know on Sunday, Kurt, he asked the question, is this person making progress in holiness? So that's one of the questions he used and kind of looking and seeing where a person's at. So let's take a minute to look at who are the people that God's placed in our lives. As I was sitting there listening to Dr. Leonard, and I know you were telling us to rip up our lists of people, right? And I had the sheet for you to make a list. So
they know who to put on it.
Right, exactly. So I think
it's a good relationship. It doesn't say you're in a good relationship.
That's true, exactly. Oops, sorry, I think I'm going the wrong spot. Exactly. So I think that there's some value in that. You know, we can think through who are some of the people you can put on your list. So, and you can even tear your list up at home if you want. We can do both things. But this is what I think is helpful. I want you to actually write down some names of people, and I have two categories here. And again, as he was saying, there might be different types of people that you would put on this list now that you wouldn't have put on earlier this morning. The first category is people that you already have a relationship with. And for both of these, I'd like you to think about people that you have regular contact with. Okay, so these are not people that maybe we just know of this person, or we kind of know them, maybe we see them once a year. I'm talking about people that you see on a fairly regular basis. So that's for the first question, is people who you have a relationship with when that's the case. The second question is for people who you see on a fairly regular basis, but you don't yet have a relationship with. So let me give you some examples. So the first one, it might be maybe your sister or your friend or your coworker. And again, I'm talking about people who are not Christians or maybe nominal Christians, people who are needing, or people who don't yet have a personal relationship with Jesus. The second category might be maybe a neighbor, right, that lives two doors down that you haven't really, you see when you're, you know, they're leaving their driveway, you're leaving yours. You see them, but you don't have, does that make sense? You don't have a relationship with them. Maybe it's someone that you go to get your mail in your apartment and they're getting theirs most days of the week. And so you know them, right? But you don't know them. So I'm going to give you a minute, and if you could try and write down some names. So as you're working on that, I'd love to hear from some people. You don't need to tell me the specific names, but tell me some categories of people that you wrote down. Does that make sense? So coworker or something. So this is going to be interactive. So I'd love to hear from some people. What are some categories of people you wrote down? Coworker, great.
Family.
Who else? Okay, Bible study group. Who else? What's that? Works. Okay. I had down some neighbors on mine. Some people that I connect with on campus and some different things that I do. Any other places you guys can think of?
The gym.
Great. Kids activities. How many of you go places, take your kids places, and you see people there on a regular basis? So there's some names of some people you can write down. I think that one thing we need to do, and maybe this also goes along with what Dr. Leonard was saying, is to think about maybe more about some of the people in this second category. So I think that God has put some people in our lives around us that sometimes we can just need to be a little more intentional with, right? We need to be more intentional about building those relationships with, about getting to know them better. One thing that I've done with the students a few times is we've made this thing, something called a network map. I tried to make mine Ole Miss color so it would be more exciting. But what we do is have the students, and I'll put my name in the middle. And then on each part, I'll put different areas of my life where I connect with people. Okay, so for me, I have neighbors, there's a small group I'm involved in, Andy's colleagues, campus, and some students on campus. So with the students, they might write their classmates, people in their dorm, write people in different, their hobbies. And for you, that's going to look different too. Yours might look more similar to mine. You know, there's places you interact with these people. And then on there, I put the names of people that are in those places. And so that I have on the sheet people that I can be praying for on a regular basis and looking to start conversations with and move those conversations forward. And the goal of these, when we do them with the students, is that we would keep taking these out, right? As you meet more people, as you know more people, you would add more people to the list. You'd write some things down. You'd keep this in front of you. And then the other thing I think this is helpful for is for realizing where there are places that you can get to know people more. So almost every time there's people we write on this list and say something like, the person that I sit next to in class that I say hi to every day, but we don't know their name. You know, I'm sure there are people like that, right? There are people that you see every day, but you don't know their name. So when you put them on this list, then the next time you think, I'm going to try and get their name, right? I'm going to try to get to know this person, get their name. And so you always have some people that you think, these are people, like, God's put you in this place, right? And he has these people around you. So here's people that you can talk to and grow those relationships. So I think the second thing I want us to think about is that we want to grow those relationships with people from wherever they're at to keep growing those friendships, deepening those relationships, and having more conversations with them. And so there's this book by Rick Richardson. He's a former InterVarsity staff member. It's called Reimagining Evangelism. And he said something really good in here. I do have a nice bookmark, as you can see, holding my page. He talks about that he thinks Christians need to do more of the things that they love to do with people who are not yet Christians, who are far from God. So this is what he says. What do you love to do? Watch baseball? Play video games? Study literature or write? Read books? Play chess? Sail boats? Play basketball? Go to movies? Cultivate flowers? The list could go on and on. Too often, Christians don't spend enough time doing what they love to do, and too often they ignore the greatest opportunity for building friendships with people who are far from God. They don't do what they love to do, or they do what they love, and they only do it with other Christians. And when I read that a few years ago, it struck a chord with me, because I thought, sometimes we make things seem a lot more complicated than they need to be. And so it helped me to start thinking about, what are some things that I already enjoy doing? And then who are some people that I can do that with, some people I can spend time with? I think that some of us, maybe when we look at our lives, we realize we're spending a lot of time doing really good things, and that's good, and we spend a lot of time with Christians. That's good too, but then we realize that it may be the case that we don't have any space in our lives for people who are not Christians or maybe need to grow in a relationship with God. And so what I wanted us to think about doing is, to go to number two on the sheet, if you could look and write, what are some things that you love to do? And how could you do some of these things that you love with nominal or non-Christians? So again, it'd be great if you could write a few things down. I'm going to ask a few people to share some ideas. So let's just, again, it could be something like, I like to cook. I like to have people over for dinner. I like to read. I like to have a book club or something like that. So let me give you a minute to write some things down. All right, let's hear some examples. I'd love to hear from a lot of people. What are some things that you wrote down there, things that you love to do? Exercise, play bridge, great. What are some other things? Walk, okay.
Eat,
yes. Shoot things, great. What else?
Read.
Garden.
Go to ball games.
Yes, go to ball games. What else?
Go to prison.
Okay, go to the prison.
Amen.
Anything else? What did you say?
RV.
Okay, RV, yes.
Travel.
So, okay, let's hear, what would it look like? What are some ideas of how you could do some of those things and invite some people that you might not have thought of before? What are some ideas?
Give them some baseball tickets.
Invite them to come to the game with you. Hey, I'm going to the game. Why don't you come with me? What else? Yeah, go to lunch with coworkers. That's great. Have them over for dinner? Mm-hmm. How much you use a love of reading to connect with other people? A book club. How about walking? Yeah, invite somebody to come along. You know, there are some students, you know, crocheting is, at least when I was up north, now I think about it, I'm not sure if it is down here, but it came back in style with younger people. And so one of my students was saying, I'm going to start inviting people over to crochet with me, like do crafts together, you know? It might be, if you like sports, it might be inviting someone to play basketball with you, right? But to just think about, what are the things that we can do? Maybe it's something with your kids, right? Inviting other people over with kids to do some of those things together. And I think that from there can come also, and along with that, the serving stuff that Dr. Leonard was talking about, of as you can be serving the people around you, and as you build these relationships things are going to come up, ways that you can serve these people, right? Things that you can do to help care well for them. And so that, I think that as we're spending time together, growing those relationships with people and being intentional about that, being intentional, that's a good word, intentional about the people that are in our lives, what we want to do is keep moving those conversations deeper to start being able to talk about spiritual things. And I think that conversations move to spiritual things a lot of times by asking questions. So Jesus often asks questions to help conversations move deeper. In fact, when Jamie was talking this morning about the woman at the well, right, he mentioned that Jesus asked questions. Like, that's how he got this conversation going with this woman, and it went deeper. So when you think about conversations, what do questions do in conversations? Why would they be helpful? What kind of things do questions do in general when you have a conversation? Make people think. Yeah. What else? Makes you listen. Helps you get to know them. What else? Mm-hmm. Good. Helps you know issues. What else? Yes. I mean, it shows that you're interested. How does it feel when, for you, when someone asks you questions about yourself? Like, how does that feel for you? Yeah. Makes you feel like the person cares, right? That they really want to know you. I think some other things that questions do, they establish trust with someone. They show that you really care about them, that you're not just there to tell them your thing, right? Like, I'm gonna tell you what I think, right? But you really want to know what they think. It helps you find information about that person. I think it also can help people to arrive at their own conclusions. So sometimes, instead of us just telling someone something, as we ask questions, right, they start to kind of think about it more for themselves. And when they come with their own conclusion about something, it makes a difference, right? Rather than us telling them something. And what do you think makes a good question? What are some things that make for good questions? What types of questions?
Open-ended.
Yes, open-ended. What other things? Ask about them. I mean, things that build a connection between the two of you. So asking about things that you have in common, right? Questions that build on other questions, right? So they've said something, and so you ask them a question that builds on what they've already said. Has anybody experienced that, where someone remembers something that you said like a week ago, and then they ask you about it? I mean, that feels great, right? Like, I'll come home and I'll say, Andy, I can't believe it. So-and-so asked me about something we talked about last week. You know, like, they were listening to me and they want to know more about it. Not that people don't ever listen to me, but but it's exciting, right? Because you feel like they really care. So I think that questions can be really important, and that questions help us to move toward talking more about spiritual things. But I do think that there are different types of questions. And so it can be hard to make a jump from some types of questions to others. So for example, if you were talking about the weather this last week, right? So I could say to my neighbor, oh, can you believe how much snow we got last week? I was so surprised. Were you surprised by that snow? Oh yeah, I heard the weather, but I didn't know it was gonna snow that much. And I say, well, speaking of snow, have you ever thought about how you can be made white as snow? You're like, they're gonna just look at me like, what are you talking about, right? So making a jump from just talking about like the weather or football to asking some questions about spiritual things, that's like a pretty big leap, right? It doesn't seem natural at all. Like, if, you know, you'd think, what is wrong with this person? Like, do they never learn conversation skills? Like, but I think that sometimes that's like, we just have in our minds, like, I have to get to this, right? Like, it's in our, we got to do this. And how am I going to make this jump? But I want to help us think about that. So if you want to turn over your paper. So some of this information is from some teaching by Mark Ashton. He's, again, a former InterVarsity staff worker. He's now at a church in Omaha, Nebraska. But I think there's different ways to categorize questions, but this is how he categorizes questions. And I thought this was helpful in thinking about how to move those conversations forward. So he would say there's four types of questions: introductory questions that get at facts, life questions that get at ideas, spiritual questions that get at needs, and invitation questions that get at decisions. So the reason that there's a funnel here is that I think that these questions tend to move down, right? You start kind of at the top and then you move down, and that we can be intentional about the questions that we ask to kind of move toward asking spiritual questions. So I'm just going to look through some or read through these examples. So the first questions, introductory questions, get a conversation going, right? So how are you? Did you grow up around here? What did you do last weekend? Do you come from a big family? What do you usually do in your free time? So this is where we usually start with people, right? But I think the problem is that a lot of times we stay in those questions. Those are the questions that we always ask those people, right? Like we never go any deeper. So then when we think, oh, how can I ask them about spiritual things? It's like, well, I can't just make that jump, right? I mean, sometimes there are opportunities to do that. I'm not saying there never are, but I think that we can think about, well, how can we move the conversations forward? So life questions, here's some examples. What do you like most about your job? What's your idea of a perfect vacation? I'm sorry to hear that. What do you think went wrong? What are the biggest challenges you're facing these days? Who's the greatest figure in sports history and what makes him or her great? Now that question, at first I thought, well, that's kind of a strange question. But really, that could connect with someone, right? And if you ask, what do you think makes this person great? That gets at what they value, right? What they kind of, what they think about that part of life. So I think that that could be a good question. What do you hope for your kids? How have your siblings shaped who you are today? And the next one, spiritual questions. What do you think God's perspective is on that? Do you ever think there must be more to life than this? How do you determine what's right and what's wrong? What do you think about the idea that God could be a close friend? Who do you think Jesus was? And these questions in that category, I think, get at a person's worldview. So what I mean by that is kind of the assumptions that they have about the world and the way it operates, right? So that those questions get at that. And on their own, I think they might seem a little awkward. Like, again, you wouldn't jump into one of those things. But when it comes as a part of some other questions that you're having, I think it's great. It can be really powerful. You can also even kind of transition into those questions. So those spiritual questions in particular, like if you say, you know, I've really been thinking about what God thinks about some of these things. Do you mind if I ask you a personal question? Like, what have you thought much about what God thinks about those? So kind of asking for permission, right? That you're kind of moving into that type of question. The last questions, invitation questions. I've been thinking about gathering a few people together who want to look at the Bible has to say about Jesus. Would you be interested? I wanted to just say that this is the type of question, as I've talked to students on campus, I know my context is different than yours, but this is, we've had a number of students become Christians, and a lot of it is through having conversations, then inviting them to come to a small group to look at the Bible, right? So they come together, and I always say, you don't need to know anything at all. You can have read the Bible some before, not at all, or anywhere in between, but come, we're just going to look at a passage and talk about what it says about Jesus. And then they come, right? And as they come, over the weeks, right? Then there have been a number of students who've said they've realized, oh, there's more to Jesus than I knew, you know? And oh, I do think, I do want to make a change. I want to make a change in my life. So again, other invitation questions. You know, we're talking about that very thing this weekend at church. Would you like to come? We have a small group at our church where people meet to eat and pray for each other. It's a great place to meet someone in the church. You don't have to do anything. Would you like to come? Are you ready to become a follower of Jesus right now? Or are you somewhere along the way? Is it okay if I pray for you or pray with you? So I wanted us to kind of think a little bit about practically what that looks like and what this process looks like. So what I want to do is share kind of a scenario and then help us together as a group. Let's try and figure out a few questions you could ask to kind of move that conversation a little further along. Does that make sense? So my first scenario is that you run into a friend from college you haven't seen in a long time at a baseball game. So at a baseball game, you see a friend from college you haven't seen in a long time. So where do you think you'd probably tend to be in this funnel with that person? Right, at the top, right? Where would probably tend to be? So what kind of questions do you think you might ask to kind of be in that part but kind of moving down and then maybe even move to the next section? Does that make sense? So what kind of questions would you ask? You run into a friend, you haven't seen them in a while. What's going on with you? Great. What else? Let's take that question. What's going on with you? And they tell you, oh, well, I just got a new job. I'm working at this electric company in this city. Well, what's another question you could ask to kind of move the conversation forward? Are you married? Okay. They ask, do you have kids? Yeah, asking a few questions about their personal life.
Want to go to jail? I'm kidding.
Oh, yes. Ask about someone you have in common with. Good. Yeah. What's been going on since the last time we've seen you? And as you, I think that something that can kind of move us right to the next stage, like if they say, well, these are the things I've been doing, this is the my new job I have, well, maybe even a question, well, what do you like most about that job? Why do you think it connects with you? So you're trying to get a little deeper, right? Like asking some more questions about, and people do, I know that there's certain places where like maybe you're just able to have a quick conversation, right? But sometimes if you're sitting next to someone, you've got some time, right? And so to try to ask a few more questions about, well, yeah, tell me a little more about that. Why was that difficult for you? You know, if they're talking about something that's been going on in their life, you can kind of move forward. Another scenario. Okay, you're watching your kids play at the park. So you're sitting talking to a friend, and you're talking about kind of a recent story about a controversial topic in the news. So what are some questions? It could be really any topic that's kind of controversial. What are some questions that might help you to kind of move along that conversation along? I would say that's probably in the ideas part because you're kind of asking them more about what they think about things. But if you're talking about something controversial, what kind of questions could help you move that conversation along?
What do you think about the whole Ray Rice, Rihanna?
Okay. What do you think about this particular situation? Ask their thoughts on the situation.
What kind of world will our two children be living in 20 years on?
That's good. What kind of world do you think our kids will be living in the future?
You don't want to present a question, too. Sometimes people's questions will become defensive about it.
Sure.
It's like, you know, this happened. I've noticed this. I saw this on TV that I've really been struggling with where my position is on it.
Yeah. Sure. Great. Mm-hmm. Great. Perfect. Yeah. This is my view on this. I've been thinking about this and then asking him to think about it a little more. Even a question like, what do you think has influenced your thinking the most about this? You know, then that gets a little deeper, right? So that's, I think, the way that you can start moving the conversation so that we're not just talking about surface level things a lot of the time. And again, I think that the decision part of it, of the question, the invitation part, there are ways that you can keep moving to ask them to make bigger decisions, you know? So if somebody has been coming to something, then ask them some more, right? Ask them, hey, would you be interested in, and maybe come into our small group, would you be interested in, you know, what is keeping you from maybe giving that area of your life over to Jesus? Or what are some questions that you have about that or some things you're struggling with? So what I'd like us to do is go back to that sheet, turn it back over. I want you to do, if you could do number 3, pick 2 people that you wrote down in question 1, any 2 people, and kind of look at which part of the conversation funnel do you tend to be in with that person. Does that make sense? Any questions about that? So where do you tend to be with that particular person? You can circle it. You can write their name. So maybe it's someone that you, and it might be that it's different for some conversations, but in general, right, you've kind of been able to move to this level with that person. And the second part of that is, what are 2 questions that could help me go deeper in conversation with each of them? So the questions that I have on the back are just ideas, right? So it can be any type of question that you want that could help you to move that conversation so that you're able to go deeper in that relationship. So let me give you a minute to work on that, and I'll have a few people share if they've got some ideas. Well, let's hear, would 1 or 2 people be willing to share some ideas that they had for what are some questions they could kind of ask in the place they're at? Frank. Oh, sorry. Frank, and then we'll go up here. Sure. 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 Yeah. Great. Thanks, Frank. Is it true? Did you?
I notice sports interviewers sometimes use the technique of not putting it into the form of a question it really is.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of saying why, they'll say, tell me.
Sure.
How that happened.
That's great.
It's a question, but then they're going to answer it easier, I think.
Right. Good. That's good advice, true. Anyone else have something they would be willing to share? Okay. Oh, good, good, good. So what, asking, you know, has this been helpful to you? Something that, you know, after they comes up with something. Anyone else? Sure. What made you stop going? And showing genuine interest, right? I think, yeah, I like what you're saying. Tell me more about that. I'm really interested to know, right? And then it kind of moves the conversation forward.
My question is, yeah. Once you ask that question, and they give you an answer, and you don't like it.
Yeah.
Sure. I've been down some of these roads. I mean,
you want to be careful so not to offend.
Sure. So if you ask a question, they tell you an answer, and you don't like their answer,
it's
right?
It's really not a good answer.
Sure.
And it's short.
Okay.
You know, like, I guess you just back up and start off with something else. Like,
yeah, you know. Yeah. Oh, go ahead. Right, so she said you could acknowledge their position and then say, this is how I feel about it. Oh, I acknowledge, you know, thanks for sharing that with me. This is what I understand you're saying. And this is kind of what I think about it. So showing them that you do, we're not just, I think one thing that's hard about this is that sometimes, I know for myself, like I'm kind of eager, like I'm thinking a lot about what I'm going to say, right? Not listening to what they're saying. And so this requires us to listen well to what they're saying and to value what they're saying. Because we value them, right? We care about them. These are people God made. And so we're listening to them and responding. Go ahead. Yeah. Really good. So you're saying, remember, seeing where they're at, asking questions, listening really well to them, sharing some of your own struggles, identifying with them. Eric, you're going to say something?
Well, I was just wondering.
Right, exactly. I'm glad you said that, because one of the things I didn't say that I was going to is that some of this, going through this, I'm not saying that this is going to take place in one conversation. It might take 2 years, you know, as you're over time, right? So I appreciate that. It's the long view, but that, and I don't think we need to feel, we need to feel nervous about, okay, I got to go. What's the next thing? But, you know, I think it helps to have something in our minds like, this is where I tend to be at with this person. I'd like to kind of be able to move our, you know, conversation forward. Someone else over? Sure. And sometimes when you ask that type of question, you might find out something more about a person's family background, right? Or find out like some, yeah, this is something that my family valued growing up, or like there are things that you can really get at from there. I wanted to say one other thing is just to, I don't think we can overemphasize the importance of prayer in these situations. So praying for those people on our list, like I said, I mean, taking this home and praying for people, praying for ourselves. I think part of it is praying that we would see people the way that God sees them, that we would see, you know, Jesus says the harvest is plentiful, right? And so we look around us, there's a difference on the days that I can go to campus and think, the harvest is plentiful, right? Like there are people here that, you know, that needs, that are open, right, to knowing Jesus, that he's going to make changes in people's lives. That's different than me going like, oh, these people really have it all together. It seems like they do, right? Like when you're walking along, it seems like they're just walking like, you know, everything's good. So asking, praying that we could see things from God's perspective, I think is big. Again, praying for opportunities, praying that we'd be able to kind of listen to the Holy Spirit, right? As we're having conversations with people, praying together with other Christians for them. The last thing I wanted to ask you to do is just to take 2 minutes to look at this question number 4. I think it's helpful to have a plan of what we want to do. I know for myself, often I'll come in, hear some teaching or think about something, and I think, oh, I've got an idea, but then I go away and I don't really do anything with it. Maybe I'm the only one in that boat. But I think it can be helpful to write down what's a step that you want to take. So if you could just take a minute or two and just write down what's the next step you want to take with someone on your list, or something that you want to do with someone, a question that you want to ask. I'll say one more thing in a minute, but let me give you a minute to do that. Well, let me encourage you to take this paper with you and to look at it and to pray for the people on your list and to look for opportunities and even to share with one another, you know, oh, hey, I was going to talk to this person and then I did. And maybe we can even give each other some ideas, right, and encourage each other in that way. And I don't think it needs to be a stressful or a program thing, like we have to follow this thing, but just to be intentional, right, and to have some ideas and some relationships in mind that we're working on, we're trying to move forward and to talking more about spiritual things, to deepening those relationships, spending time serving people, loving people, showing them care. So thank you.